இந்த அலம்தலில்லா வசலாத் வசலாம் ஆலா அஷ்ரஃபில் அம்பியா வாலா ஆலிஹி வாஸ்ஹாபிஹி ஒமன் வலா உபாத். மை டியர் பிரதர்ஸ் அண்ட் சிஸ்டர்ஸ், வி கண்டினியூ தி லெசன்ஸ் ஆன் சூரத்துல் லெசன்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் சூரத்துல் ஹுஜுராத். ஐ எம் நாட் மேக்கிங் தஃசீர் ஹியர், வி ஆர் லுக்கிங் ஒன்லி அட் தி லெசன்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் தி சூரா இன்ஷா அல்லா. ஸோ அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா செட், யெஸ்டர்டே வி டாக்ட் அபவுட் தி இம்பார்ட்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் பிரிங்கிங் ஹார்ட்ஸ் டுகெதர், ஆஃப் ரிசால்விங் டிஃப்ரென்சஸ் அண்ட் ஃபைட்ஸ் அண்ட் as part of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said innamal mu'minuna ikhwatun fa aslihu bayna akhawaykum wattaqullaha la'allakum turhamun, which is part of yesterday's, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you believe, you are brothers, ikhwatun, you are brothers, so therefore do the islah, bring about reconciliation between your brothers. Fa aslihu bayna akhawaykum, bring about reconciliation amongst your brothers. So the whole issue here is to see every Muslim as my brother, and therefore I am responsible for the welfare of that person, right? The masajid of Allah, really, if we think about it, Allah is saying wattaqullah, have the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'allakum turhamun, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have rahm on you, may have mercy on you. The masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where the issue also of the importance of the masjid. The masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are really the, are supposed to be the markaz of the community. So wherever there is a masjid, this masjid must be a place where there is concern for the community, there is people meet together for mutual benefit. It's not just a place where you come and pray two rakat of salah and you go home. Now that is unfortunately what our masajid have become. And of course we don't, I'm not talking about places where the masjid becomes a source of fitna, because you create a masjid and then you put a board saying this jamaat cannot come and that jamaat cannot come and this masjid is for this jamaat and that jamaat. If you see the things that we do in the light of the Quran, you can see how terribly wrong these things are. And the sad thing is that those who recommend these things and those who promote this kind of divisions, they are doing it in the name of religion. And they think this is religion. Religion is to build a masjid, and they say this masjid is Salafi masjid or masjid of Ahlu Sunnah. I mean, this is another... I always say that this is an injustice on all the Sunni Muslims for one particular Jamaat to call themselves Sunni and to call themselves Ahlu Sunnah. So if there is somebody who is, if you say Ahlu Sunnah, then if you are not part of that, what is, you know, the Barelvi Maktab-e Fikr, which calls themselves Ahlu Sunnah. So if you are not Barelvi, then you are not what? I know I'm not Shia. I also know I'm not Barelvi. So what am I now? So then, so it's we are, alhamdulillah, all of us are Ahlul Sunnah. Ahlul Sunnah is the one who is following the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So having these masajid with these boards, and you can see them all over. I mean, you know, the Masjid Ahlul Sunnah, Masjid Salafi, Masjid this, Masjid that. This is completely and totally haram in Islam, to segregate a masjid on this basis and to prevent other Muslims from coming and praying in that masjid is haram, because masjid is the house of Allah. It is not your house. Once a masjid has been established and this has been made waqf, and waqf does not mean that there has to be some stamp paper document registered somewhere. Waqf is in the heart, the niyyah. I build a masjid and my niyyah is that this masjid is for the house of Allah. This masjid is waqf. There is no need for any piece of paper. Allah does not look at pieces of paper. Once it is waqf, then this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not belong to you anymore. It does not belong to you anymore. You can't sell it, you can't buy it, you can't do anything with it. It is not like churches. I mean, if you go into US and all that, a lot of masajid are old churches. The congregation, nobody comes here, we sell it. You can't sell a masjid. Even if there is nobody there, the masjid, if it is completely abandoned, even then you cannot sell it because you don't own it. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a masjid is in a particular place and you want to, you know, do something with it, you can't build a mall on top of a place which had a masjid. The masjid has to be there. If you break that masjid down, you have to build another masjid. The reason for this is because the masajid were the markaz of the community. When Rasulullah ﷺ migrated to Medina, imagine, here is this, the best example is the example of Nabi ﷺ. If you go to some place, what is the first thing you will do? You will look for a house. And if you say, now why didn't you start your business? I don't have a place to stay. What business? Let me first find a place to stay. So the first thing that any person will do is to build his own house or buy a house or something and find some place to stay for himself and his family. What is the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ did? He built a masjid. He didn't build his house. He built a masjid. And this is the great sa'adat of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that when Nabi ﷺ wanted to build the masjid, there was this piece of land which belonged to two orphans. And so Nabi ﷺ asked them, he said, will you sell this? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't want to sell it, we want to give it to you, to build the masjid. Nabi ﷺ said, no, I will not take your orphans, I will not take it from you, I will buy it from you. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu bought this piece of land, which is the Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif today. And today Masjid al-Nabawi, of course, is the area, is the entire Medina, the whole town itself. But the actual Riyadul Jannah, which is the white carpeted area, that is the original Masjid al-Nabawi, which was built on that piece of land. And the thing I always say is, subhanAllah, see the benefit of being the first to try to do something good. That's why if you get a good thought, then you act on it. Don't wait. Don't delay. There were many people in Medina at that time who could have bought that piece of land for the masjid. Abu Bakr Siddiq was not the only one. There were other people also. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he took sabqat over them. He was the first one. And he gave it. Others would have been interested to do it as well. I'm sure. If not, there were no sahaba. But Nabi, this is the beauty of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Think about this. If you build a masjid, why do you build a masjid? So that whoever prays in that masjid, you will get the sawab of this person's salah. Right? So if you build a masjid, small, big, whatever, as long as that masjid is there, as long as people are praying in this masjid, you would have died and gone. But inshallah, the sawab of this comes into your cover forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam to build a masjid. What is that masjid? The Kaaba, his house. So apart from the sa'adat of building the Kaaba, what are they getting? What is Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, what are they getting? They are getting the sawab of whoever makes tawaf and whoever prays in that precincts in Masjid al-Haram. And who is that? Apart from millions of people, from literally over 1,000 or 2,000-3,000 years, because Ibrahim alayhi salam is about 3,000 years. He gets the sawab of the Umrah and Hajj and Tawaf and Salah of all the Anbiya, including of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only other person who gets the sawab of the Salah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than Ibrahim alayhi salam, is Abu Bakr Siddiq. That is the value of doing that deed first. All the salah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed in Masjid al-Nabawi, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gets a share of that because he built the masjid. How is that related to what we are saying here with Surah Al-Hujurat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you believe, you are brothers. So bring about conciliation between brothers. And as I said, the masjid is the center of that brotherhood. So the masjid is not just for praying two rakat of salah and vanishing. The masjid is for us to spend time in, to ask about each other. So many times I've asked people, do you know the name of the person praying next to you? People who are regular for salah, people are regular, then also people, we are creatures of habit. So we'll find that somebody who prays at this place will usually pray in the same place always. We pray and we go home. We do not even ask the name of the person who's praying next to us. And asking a name is not so something great, but that at least that's the beginning. Why do you need to ask the name? Because you should inquire. Alhamdulillah, are you all right? What happened? One day a person doesn't come. I didn't see you yesterday. You're not well or something. Is there anything I can do to help you? This concern for each other. Then masjid is also a place to make mashwara with regard to to discuss and to take each other's advice with regard to any issues that might be happening in the community, in the country, in the place where you live, and so on and so forth. So the masjid is a place for all of that. Masjid is a place to, for any community activity, the masjid is the center. And that is where this whole issue of reconciliation, bringing about, if you don't even know the name of your brother, what reconciliation are you going to bring about? You don't even know who the person is. How will you bring hearts together? What will you do? So the direct consequence of this ayat, the direct consequence of ignoring these ayats, the direct consequence of going against these ayats is our state today. Globally, 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 of every of the human beings walking on the planet is a Muslim. If you take people who practice their faith at whatever level, if you take that practice as a criterion, Muslims are probably the largest in the whole world who practice, because most Christians don't practice. Although numbers of Christians are more, but most Christians don't practice. So if you just say practice, whatever, at whichever level. But what is our global position with regard to influence, with regard to, you know, does anyone care two hoots? What are the Muslims thinking? What do they, is it, is, we are doing this thing, is it, you know, what's the Muslim opinion? Nobody cares two hoots, because people know that this 1.5 or whatever billion number we give is a figment of the imagination. There are no 1.5 billion Muslims. There are 20 here who will not talk to the other 20 at the other place. There are another 30 there who call the other 50 kafir. And there are other 50 there who call these murtad, and the other one who call mulhid. And we got all nice names, titles. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again and again and again and again and again, you are one ummah, you are one ummah, you are one ummah. You are brothers. And we say, no. Sorry, you are wrong. We are not brothers. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So seriously, let us look at this issue of reconciliation and so on and so forth. Let us make sure that we are one ummah, and we have been made one ummah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So go and stand and say to anybody who tries to change that, look, this is what the Quran says. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. First thing he did when he went to Madinah was to establish the ummah, the muhajirun and the ansar. The brotherhood between people, that was the first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. In terms of physical things, he built the masjid. In terms of relationships, he built the ummah. That is the level of importance of brotherhood and togetherness. We talk about, no, but you know, so and so did this. Of course, there will be conflict. There will be conflict. There will be difference of opinion. So what? That is why Allah is saying, make islah. Allah did not say, do not have difference of opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't differentiate. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah did not say, وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. Allah did not say, do not have a difference of opinion. Allah said, do not create divisions. Do not disintegrate. Do not separate from one another. I remind myself and you, let us beware that the Quran Al-Kareem came to be followed, came to be practiced. It didn't just come to be recited. So let us make sure that we are practicing the Quran, and that the Quran does not become a witness against us on the Day of Judgment. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.